From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios out in support of his latest release called No Rain, No Rose, it's John Craigie. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very well. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We should start by saying that you have brought in a rather colorful guitar. We're going to have photos up of this up on our website later today. You've got to explain what this is. Where did this come from?
Yeah, it's good. We should explain it. There's going to be photos.
Yeah.
The story behind this guitar, I went to college in Santa Cruz when I was younger, and I lived in this house, hippie house kind of, and there was five of us that paid rent to the man, you know, and then there was about 12 other people who didn't want to participate, you know, in that system. And they used to...
Which side did you fall on?
I was one of the payers, okay. You know, I was a student. And so it was kind of, we didn't care. We were all happy just to have everyone in there. And it was good for me, like as a burgeoning songwriter, because every night I could go out to the couch surfers and like sing them to sleep, you know, tuck them in, you know, make sure like Sage has his crystals and make sure, you know, Madrone has his water or whatever. And then I would play like hippie lullabies, you know, get him to sleep. But I always took my guitar, this guitar, in with me. Not because I was afraid it would get stolen, but I had another fear. And one night I must have spaced. I woke up in the morning, guitar was left out there. And I went out and this butterfly was sitting there, you know. And I was, I didn't know, I wasn't mad, but I wanted to figure out what happened. So I went and found out sort of the ringleader, sort of the landlord of all the couch surfers. And I woke him up and said, man, I'm sorry to wake you up. I know it's like early, it's like 11:30. But you know what's up with this? And he was like, oh man, last night you were singing and me and Quinoa were like listening to you. And Quinoa was like, is it just me or do you see a butterfly flying out of John's sound hole? And I was like, I don't not see a butterfly. And then you were gone and like Quinoa had paints and we wanted you to remember that butterfly forever. So, you know, I couldn't be mad at that, but it just became the thing to do to paint on this guitar. So it got a... sort of over the course of those next two or three years, it got pretty layered on. And then it was my touring guitar for a while until I think I freaked out a few too many squares and then needed to get another guitar.
What did it start with? What's underneath all of that paint?
Oh, it's a Takamine G230, pretty basic. It was the first guitar I bought when I was in high school. Yeah.
You mentioned Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
You are a California native,
definitely,
though we get to call you an Oregonian these days. We've got a guy next week, B. Beeman, also from Santa Cruz, spent time there. Devil Makes Three from Santa Cruz, spent time here in the studios. When you were there, were you part of a music scene at all, or were you outside of what was going on?
I'd like to think so. You know, I was in, this was during the jam band cusp, right, leading into the bluegrass takeover, which Devil Makes Three was a wonderful part of, you know. I was still stuck in the past in the jam band scene, so I had a jam band called Pond Rock. And we were definitely in that scene at that time. But I remember doing bills with people like Devil Makes Three, a guy named Brett Denon, if you know Brett.
Sure.
He was a friend of mine and fellow student. Band called Two Gallants. I don't know if you know them, out of San Francisco. They were coming up at that time. A lot of cool artists that were playing. And it was a great scene. You know, a lot of venues, a lot of house parties. Mm. When the jam band thing kind of crumbled, I started doing the solo thing, which there wasn't a great scene for that in Santa Cruz. So I had to scoot out and sort of hit the road. But
well, I know before you really got into music big time, you were studying something completely different. I really want to hear the story about your math education in a minute. John Craigie is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called No Rain, No Rose. What do you want to play first?
Cool. I'll do a song off the new record called Rough Johns. Goes like this.
Take me to your heaven, don't you leave me this way. I've been mumbling like a fool, I don't know what to say. I go on and on. I go on and on. I've been kissing your lips, I've been kissing your eyes. I've been licking your scars, a honey, I don't mind. You've had some rough jumps. You've had some rough jumps. I ain't making no judgments, I ain't keeping the scars. How many times will you live me until you don't live me no more?
Mm-hmm.
out of Tennessee. Don't you know what it's for? Them boys been calling your name. They've been kicking your door. They just can't get enough. They just can't get enough. You and me, we got these bandages from where we been. We'll just lie right here, grow some brand new skin. We'll heal it all up. We'll heal it all up. Can't make it back to your bed. We pass out right on the floor. How many times will you let me until you don't let me no more? I've been chasing the soft ones, they've been keeping me woke. My dream girl lost a bunch of weight, she ain't my dream girl no more. I need what I need. I need what I need. And I've been crawling towards you, I've been making mistakes. You with all them curves, me without no brakes. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And I've been biting your neck, trying to silence my roar. How many times will you let me until you don't let me no more?
That is John Craigie live today on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called No Rain, No Rose. We'll get to that title in just a minute. You might actually be able to figure out the meaning behind the title if you think about where he lives these days. JohnCraigieMusic.com is the web address. Well, I mentioned the math thing. You studied math at Santa Cruz, sounds like it is a bit of an adventure.
Totally.
Tell me about that course of study and how it works doesn't work.
Well, the thing is with the math, and I talk about this a lot on stage, so forgive me if anyone listening who's heard me say this more than once, but it is an interesting, a lot of times I get asked about that, but a major at Santa Cruz is way different than a math major anywhere else, you know. At that time, I was going to school there. They didn't have grades, you know, they just had pass or no pass. They didn't want to have the negative vibes with the F word, you know. And so it was a different scene, and I remember going in to declare my major sophomore year, they call me in. You know, they're very laid back there. They were like, "Craigie, sorry to interrupt that hacky sack game, bro, but we gotta pick a major." And so I told them because I was decent at, I mean, I was doing the music thing, but I didn't want to major in music because I wanted to do that kind of folk rebel thing. I didn't want to have a degree in it. That seemed square. And I was decent at math, so I said, "What about math?" And the guy was just like, "Dude, that sounds hard. You don't want to do that." And he's like, "What about Grateful Dead? Because we offer Grateful Dead here." And I was like, "Yeah, I could minor in that to have something to fall back on, but I think I could probably get a degree, you know, get a job with the math." And so they taught me, but the class is real small. There weren't many math majors, and it was just a different vibe. It was a lot of stuff like, "How does this equation make you feel, John?" You know, and then I would be like, "Not that good." And then they would say, "Well, then we'll pick a different one. We don't want to bum you out. You know, it's not our vibe." And there, you had to do a thesis there too, you know, and I did my thesis on infinity. I just got up there. I was like, "It goes on forever." And the professor was just like, "Whoa, man, you just blew our minds. You go, you're graduated. Go tell the other people what you've discovered," you know? So they were a little, a little easier to get the degree in them. But I enjoy that. There's some math in music, I guess. And there's some math in plotting out your tours and all that stuff. So I liked that side of my brain, and then there was the musical side too, the songwriting side that I'd been doing that since I was a teenager, but Santa Cruz really helped me kind of, just not so much the school, but the scene was really nice. A lot of open mics, a lot of campfires, a lot of just hangs, a lot of jams, which that, you know, I grew up in LA as a kid, there wasn't anything like that there, you know, it was a lot more shiny down there, you know.
And you have now departed that scene for Portland, right?
Yeah.
You're friends with the Shook Twins.
I am.
Lori and Caitlin.
Yeah.
And they made that journey from Idaho to Portland, and
Definitely.
You have now done the same. What is it like in Portland compared to when you were in Santa Cruz?
It's great. And, you know, they're probably the main reason that I did it. I've been friends with them for almost 10 years now. And when they moved to Portland, I would visit and stay with them on my tours through. I always loved playing there. Well, there's a lot of great cities to play in. But with them being there, I kind of got witness to the scene, the songwriter scene, and then the sort of indie folk or whatever you want to call that band scene. And so I just felt really at home there. And I was living just out of the van, sort of Guthrie style, although he didn't have a van. But, you know, he would have had they had Astro vans in that time.
Right.
He would have gotten one for sure. And so that was part of it. I liked the scene, and it was a good place to be based out of. I'm not there too often, but when I am, it's very welcoming, and there's a lot of great creativity happening right now. That's how I felt.
You have talked about how the nature of your songs has changed a bit since relocating. It used to be I'm the solo guy out on the road observing life, and now it's more about home and family and and the surroundings of living in a community.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's, I don't have a family or anything like that.
Sure. But the family of musician friends, yeah.
I thought that for the new record, I wanted to acknowledge that side. You know, it's hard not, I think also too, when you're the traveling songwriter, you can fall into that pretty quickly of the road song, you know, and I try to stay diverse. Not every song has to be about, you know, the long highway and the hills and the eagles flying by and stuff like that, you know, as much as we want to write that. And I was discovering this other side of being a songwriter, which was being in a community, living in a house full of musicians, recording with the community. And so I wanted to kind of explore that and explore a city as being someone, you know, almost like a personification to a city. And I hadn't done that before. Even though I love Santa Cruz, I never felt that connection with it. So that was part of it.
John Craigie is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. His newest record is called No Rain, No Rose. Information is at johncraigiemusic.com. Will you play us another?
Yeah, I want to do another one off the new record. I'm going to find my F harmonica while I tell you about the song. This is a song, my most educational on the new record. This is about an astronaut named Michael Collins, who I was educated on as a kid a lot, but not everybody knows about him. And his story is that when the first Apollo 11 moon mission, where they first stepped on the moon, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, people forget that there was a third guy that went up in there, but didn't get to go down and walk on the moon. And my father, and I always say this, he's old, very old, you know, older than me, which is normal for a dad, but extra old. And he grew up, he was friends with Buzz Aldrin, you know, when they were younger, and still friends with him now. And so they would educate me on all that stuff, and Buzz would like to tell me about Michael Collins and how. My whole thing when I was a kid, I always thought Michael would be a little upset because, you know, they would tell me the story of the three of them going up there, and then Buzz and Neil being like, Michael, two of us have to go down and, you know, pick up some rocks, take some pictures, you know, moon chores, boring stuff. One guy, though, has to stay up here and pick us up, the true hero of the mission. We thought you could be that hero. And Michael said yes. And then I was always like, man, how pissed is Michael Collins, you know? And my parents, my dad and Buzz were always just like, oh, no, he's fine with it. I was like, I'm sure he's a little pissed. And so he's still out there somewhere. And I'd like to meet him and sing him this song. I wrote him this song just in case he was a little upset. It goes like this.
Well, I was born on Halloween in Roma, Italy. Just another white boy staring at the stars. And when I turned 39, me and the boys, we hit the sky. We hit it where we'd never been before. Yeah, one small step for man, Jesus, goddamn. 22 hours hanging in the air. Sometimes you take the fame, sometimes you sit backstage. But if it weren't for me, them boys would still be there. Oh, yeah. Now when it came time to land, those two, they shook my hand. They said, we'll call you up when we need a ride. And And it went down to the ground, and I floated around with all them stars still twinkling in my eye. Yeah, one small step for man, Jesus, God damn, 22 hours hanging in the air. Sometimes you take the fame, sometimes you sit backstage, but if it weren't for me, them boys would still be there. History books will write about that fateful night. Oh, them two fellas dancing on the moon. Yeah, but they won't say nothing about me waiting patiently, yeah, to bring them boys safely back home to you. Oh, one small step for man, Jesus, God damn, 22 hours hanging in the air. Sometimes you take the fame, sometimes you sit backstage, but if it weren't for me, them boys would still be there. Sometimes you take the fame, sometimes you sit backstage, but if it weren't for me, them boys would still be there.
That is Michael Collins. It's John Craigie live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called No Rain, No Rose. John, you have told a fascinating story about the nature of your groupies, which are somewhat different than the groupies for other musicians. You attract who exactly?
Well, I like to joke about that scene at the merch table. You know, there is a new song on the on that new album called Bucket List Grandmas, and that's one category of fan that I have, which is a very sweet category. The older lady out on, you know, kind of trying new things and gonna go see a folk show or two. But I think the main demographic that I see at the show is you know, male folk singer age 20 to 24 who wants to get out on the road but doesn't know how to. And for a while there, I wasn't sure what that was about. And then I realized just recently, I was thinking, people go to a show, they see band like Lake Street Dive, you know, or Radiohead or Gregory Alan Isaacoff, you know, beautiful artists, and they think, man, I could never do that. But they go to the Craigie show and they're like, I could do that. And I don't mind that, you know. It's, they're like looking at me, they're like, what, one guitar, couple chords, stories? I got stories too, you know. And
no shoes.
Yeah, no shoes, yeah.
Right.
I'll have shoes tonight. I just, I'll be dressed better, I promise. Got out of the car. But they could do no shoes. My buddy Todd Snyder, he doesn't wear shoes a lot on stage. Shoes are not required in this job, which is nice. And so I like to help and support them. You know, they're right. They could do it. You know, it's a, I like to, the more folk singers, the better, I think. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Well, a guy who has a much different kind of groupie is a guy that you've been out on tour with this year, Jack Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
Put John Craigie in front of all kinds of different people that probably didn't really know who you were or your music.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you, and what kind of response were you getting from Jack Johnson's followers?
Yeah, man, it was so surreal. It's funny, sometimes I forget to talk about it because I forget that it actually happened, you know? But I think I'll see the wave of that, you know, this fall when I'll be hitting back up all those markets. It was really great. Everyone was nice. The main concern I had, people were asking me about nervous, or the main question though was, John, can you do your thing? You know, because I'd like to talk a lot between the songs, and that was what Jack wanted. Jack had discovered me through my live album, and he's really into that kind of performer, the storytelling guy, and he wanted me to do that, and I told him, you know, I said, you know, he had me at the Gorge and stuff like that, and I told him, I said, you know, my album was Mississippi Studios in Portland, like 180 people. The Gorge is like 20,000.
Right.
And he said, well, John, think about it this way. If 1% of the audience is listening to you, that's still more than your live album. I was like, cool, that's great perspective. I'll just be out here with my 1% until I see you. But his fans were wonderful. They did let me do my thing. They're a little more like excited, you know, than my fans are, you know, just because it's a stadium vibe. And
what is that first moment for you, that first strum of the guitar of just you and your acoustic on stage with that big of a sound system going out to that many people?
It's pretty crazy. I think you have a couple things going for you as the opener. You know, I knew that 99% of them had no idea who I was. But you have this sort of underdog thing going. So it depends on who you're opening for, but for the Jack crowd, in that moment, they're rooting for you because they understand the magnitude of the situation. But it's a very like tense moment. That first, you got to pick a good first song because you could lose them pretty quick. But if you do if your first song is good, they're excited. It's like a Rocky movie or something, like the first Rocky, where you know they weren't expecting you, and you're not trying to beat Apollo Creed. You're just trying to stand your ground, you know. And that's kind of how I felt. I'm not trying to knock anybody out. I'm just trying to not get knocked out.
Right.
And so it was challenging each time. You know, I did it six times opening, and then I did six other shows where I was just part of the show with him. And it always went well, though. It always felt good, and they gave me a shot. That was all I wanted. And then I at the merch table afterwards, I could get some good feedback. And
right
so
on.
Yeah, you're right, but a very different fan base for sure.
Well, before I let you go, I want to talk about this new record a little bit. No Rain, No Rose. Now that you are a Pacific Northwest resident, you are now very familiar with rain, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
For sure.
Is that a positive title or a negative title for you, that the whole rain concept of what comes down in Portland?
Positive for sure. I mean, I think what I was trying to do is discuss sort of, I remember I was sitting there with the idea for the album, all these songs about moving to Portland and kind of like finding your community and finding sort of the, you know, your sort of songs out of the darkness, which is what we all do as songwriters. And there's an old Buddhist saying, no mud, no lotus. And I was aware of that saying. I wanted to twist it to be something more modern. And so I had things like no dirt, no rose, and no soil, no rose, things. But really it made the most sense. That's the thing with Portland. We have these killer springs and summers, and we got to pay for it a little bit with our wet winters. And so that made the most sense to me. And that's where it came from. I think so. It's kind of like that's what it's all about. You know, you need this. You need the bad things to get the good things sometimes.
And you made this in your living room.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. With friends that we've already mentioned, Isaac Hoff, yes. Shook Twins, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, a lot of guys from Fruition. My buddy Brad Parsons, Bart Budwig, Cat Fountain. Just so many. Countless amounts of it was really just cool, and we weren't really planning on that. It just the way that community works, they found out, oh, Craigie's having a little party, we're coming by, you know, we'll bring our thing. And that's, we just found a solo for each person or a spot for somebody to do their thing, and it was really fun. I don't love making records. I love doing this, talking to you or talking to an audience. Making a record is weird, you know, there's nobody there and you're just like singing your songs maybe four times in a row. That's very strange to me. So I liked, it was fun having the guys there. I could almost had like an audience. I could kind of banter with them a little bit. So that was fun.
Well, thanks for coming in and sharing your stories and your music. John Craigie is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is No Rain, No Rose. Information is at johncraigiemusic.com. And he's got one more tune for us. What do you want to wrap up with?
I apologize if I talk too much. Sometimes I get a little long-winded here. This song is a song about my home state of California. And it's called I Am California.
You try to drown your sorrow. You shouldn't have taught them how to swim. Now you are right back where you began. Winter sky approaching, all alone in the wasteland. Alone is the only way they let you in. So drink all my wine and cut all my trees. Make love on my beach, smoke all my weed. I am California. Can't you see? Wherever you roam, you'll always want me. And we struggle with our love. We don't know what to let in. As the new ones pay for the old ones' sin. blinded by your shadows, faded on your love. You don't know how deep you are until you get pulled back up. So drink all my wine and cut all my trees. Make love on my beach, yeah. Smoke all my weed. I am California, can't you see? Wherever you roam, you'll always want me. Dig all my gold and soak in my spring. Conquer my mountains if that's what you need. I am California, can you see? Wherever you roam, you're always for me. Yeah, you're always for me. You always want 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 me. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Always want me. Always want me. Oh. Oh,
oh. That is John Craigie live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Beautiful tune. Thanks for playing that for us, man. His newest record is called No Rain, No Rose. Information is at johncraigiemusic.com. John, thanks again for coming by. It's nice to meet you.
My pleasure.